Come out to Bluegrass Karting and Events and check out their all-new axe-throwing arenas. Make a night of it, and also enjoy their new full bar and expanded menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events, the fastest go-karts in Kentucky, and now axe-throwing arenas.
Welcome back, welcome back. It's midday with Marcus Maven. 8150, 93.9 is the number, 93.9 is the station, and it feels good to be dead center of my year. This is one of those days or one of those mornings that I feel like ACC play has started and I'm dead center in the middle of my sports year. Steve Rummage is not in the building. Ryan Hall is in the booth.
Oh, sorry. The crowd.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, people. Sorry, people.
There's no Steve here.
Steve's not here today.
Steve's not here, but I'm here.
Yeah, right? Hey. The show must, will, shall go on, Brian Hall. What's going on?
It's okay, Steve. I'll take the day after number one Duke goes down and Pittsburgh pulls off the win against number 11 Florida State. You know, I'll take that day.
We'll manage.
I'm cool with that. Yeah.
So, Brian Hall, we come in here today, and I just have to start it off with this conversation. I almost cut you off. I'll say it in apology form. I almost cut you off because I knew Steve wasn't here today. And normally when Steve and I get to start having a morning conversation back in the bullpen, you know, I say, hey, man, let's save that for the show. Brian, I asked you, what's going on? And you told me I'm getting some new fish.
So
for people who haven't been keeping up with this show like the days of our lives, I'm guilty. I told Brian, your saltwater awesome fish tank is an awesome idea, but you got to be really hands-on with this thing. Like, this is going to be a project. Brian Hall has given me an update on the fish tank. And listen, he's selling me on it. Like, I'm becoming all in, but I don't know. Brian, are you sure this hasn't become too much already?
No, not at all. I actually enjoy it a lot. So basically what I got is a 75-gallon setup. I got it basically as it was already set up. I had to ride up to Ohio and get it. So it already had the live rock and everything that I need in it. Live rock basically makes the ocean-like water.
Yep.
And it adds bacteria and different microorganisms that the fish can feed on.
Right.
And anyways, so it's a slow process because you have to add only a couple at a time and you kind of let the bio load kind of even itself out,
right,
before you add more
fish.
Just
get some earthly balance to your fish.
Yeah, and it's healthier for the fish to kind of get acquainted to their new environment for a couple weeks before you throw more fish on them.
Right.
And so we're to a fish buying day. Currently, I have two clownfish, which is like your Nemos. And then I have a emerald crab, which is about the size of a quarter, like, is his body.
Right.
And then his legs are a little bit bigger, but he's a green crab, Sherman. And then
how much did it cost?
Which ones?
The green crab.
The crab actually was part of a janitor crew, is what they call it, because they're the they're the FMS cleanup crew.
Listen up, people, on Middays with Marcus Maybe. You learn things. So now you will have some impressive information to drop on the homies.
Well, saltwater tanks are, you know, they're kind of cleaned up and maintained by some of the fish in the tank.
Right.
And so I have 20 hermit crabs. They're little bitty hermit crabs. They're not your, like, hermit crabs that you buy in the store and put in a little plastic container.
Right.
They're, like,
tiny.
Yeah, they're little tiny ones. And then I got 8 tiny snails as well. And then I got that green emerald crab, and all that together was $45.
And they get along?
They do. They all get along. The only thing you got to watch is that when the hermit crabs start getting a little bit bigger, they need to go to bigger shells.
Right.
So you got to put other shells in there, or they'll attack the snails
you're right,
and take their shell.
No. And here's the thing. Just so you know, I'm not being judgmental. There was a period, there was probably a summer during my college time. And, you know, it was that summer, you know, basketball season's kind of over with, beginning of the summer, where you're not quite as focused as you should be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had a homeboy who was, you know, big into his fish tank, right? But it was one of those cylinder, real tall fish tanks, right?
Oh, those are cool.
So here's the thing. I wasn't a fish guy. I know nothing about fish, anything like that. This big, tall cylinder fish tank, he decides that he was just going to dump probably 14 different kinds of piranha.
Oh, boy. And just watch him go at it?
And just see what happens, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, what did he think was going to happen?
No, but here's the thing. No, here's
did
the thing.
Did they coexist?
Listen, I got to tell you this. I was
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, okay, and I'm going to say this in the nicest way possible. Let's say I was in a good mood chemically.
Yeah.
Right? So you have some cocktails and you go watch this happen, right?
Okay.
So he dumps these fish in this big tall fish tank, right?
Uh-huh.
And to watch them nip at each other, like we watch for hours, them like basically bully each other.
Asserting dominance.
Yes, yes.
It's typical.
Yes, yeah. And it was awesome because the wildest fish that was the red devil piranha, right? Oh, yeah. They were the wildest ones in the tank. And they were the ones, like, by the end of the two-hour period, they were all at the bottom because that's where the dominant.
That's where they were on the food chain.
Yes. No. Like, the bottom is the bottom. Yeah, it's like the bottom bunk. Like, and then when a weaker fish would go down to the bottom, they would just run them.
I'll go back to my place.
Yes, yes. And they, like, they separated into different levels, and they never really like left their areas.
That's kind of the way it was. So the clownfish, you got to buy as a mated pair is what they call them. And so this is a fun fact for clowns. You can use this in trivia. They're all like born without a sex, and then they become males.
Right.
And when they get into a pack, they do what you're talking about. They try to assert themselves as who's the dominant one. And one of them will separate themselves, and the one who separates themselves will then transform into a female.
Really?
And get slightly bigger than the other clowns, and that will be the one in charge for that school.
Really?
Correct.
What are we doing this morning, man?
Right? Anyways, I got two shrimp as well, and tonight I'm going to try to add what they call a lawnmower blenny, and he's kind of like about 3 to 5 inches, and he looks kind of like sand almost,
right?
But he hops along the bottom.
That's gonna be so awesome. You're gonna have to start posting videos of the development.
Not too much about the fish tank. We've had enough fish tank right. talk. But no, I appreciate. Yeah.
I got to end my story. The ecosystem of the piranhas, it died because he put in a baby shark fish, didn't realize what was going on. The shark fish cleaned house.
Oh, yeah. And that's what you got to watch. You got to watch compatibility.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why, like, I actually made my list of fish before I started buying.
Right.
Knowing that it might take me several months to stock the tank.
Right.
But knowing I need to stick to these fish.
To the plan. Yeah.
And these are the ones that I've read about. They're peaceful and they go together.
Yeah, he was so sad when he woke up. Oh, he was like, all of them are gone.
That's the thing you got to watch out for, man, because they all come from, like, different reefs, like, different parts of the world, and then they've never seen these type of fish, and you throw them in with them, and they're like, yes, fresh meal.
We just went total fish stories.
Hey, Tanked is a good show.
Oh, I got to watch that.
Yeah.
Somebody else
told me. It's all about building, like, really cool fish tanks.
Okay, people. All right, anyways, listen.
Back to sports.
We are mid-sports season, mid-sports lifestyle. Here's what I wanted to talk about. I came in, you know, everybody has smiles on their face. Everybody who I've seen since I got off Gene Snyder, boy, was that ugly this morning. Ever since I left Gene Snyder this morning, by the way, you need to check out Bill at Scorns and Sons Collision Center, all the people that were in Gene Snyder, and somebody, they were trying to rear end me in that traffic this morning. Golly. Yeah, anyway.
I'd steer clear of the Gene Snyder if I have.
Oh, it was ugly. So here's the thing. Everybody seemingly was so excited to talk sports last night and this morning. And what I mean by that, people, is everybody had a comment, had an opinion. So think about this. This is Louisville. This is what we've been waiting on. You know, like Rummage kind of makes the point. I feel like I'm back in a full participant in college basketball. Everybody had did you see Duke? Like, here's the thing. When you don't think you have a team that can really compete, you just talk about how great Zion is and go on about your business.
Exactly.
Do you realize now University of Louisville fan base is watching Duke? With an eye now, with a competitive eye. Like, you're walking around Duke looking at them Like they're a little smaller than you thought.
Yeah.
After your North Carolina win, you're looking at the Gonzagas now with a side eye. There's probably three teams that you don't that disrupt your mojo, right? Mm-hmm. But other than that, Louisville fans are watching ACC basketball between Duke and Syracuse last night and Pittsburgh. Because listen, for people who don't know the score, Duke lost to Syracuse last night. And anybody who watched it, you're not afraid of Syracuse. And Syracuse didn't do anything that you can't do. And you watched it with an evil eye. People watched Pittsburgh. Like, think about it. You didn't have a game last night, and you watched ACC basketball, Pittsburgh versus Florida State, and you still saw the same Pittsburgh that you knew you should have beat, knew should not have beat you, and watched Florida State, and you're like, we're in it. We are in it. Yeah. 11 my tail.
The Duke loss basically opened the door to the rest of the country because, you know, up until that loss, they were looking dominant. And it was the thing where Louisville really didn't have the chance to play for their conference title or for the national title when you look at a team like that. Because, you know, we all have seen those teams in a particular year where you're like, they're the best team by far. We know it. But now that they got that loss, they kind of showed they were human, and they opened the door for that other tier of elite teams to kind of be on that same plane.
Every team is fully beatable now. You saw Duke miss like 34 three-pointers or went 3 for 34. You're like, uh-oh, right? And it's kind of nerve-wracking because here's the thing. In the last 24 hours, I have at least 6 requests for people who say, can you get me in this Boston College game? Right?
I know.
And I judge my social excitement about how many messages, how many ridiculous last minute, hey, man, you think you can get me in the front row at Boston College game?
Yeah, you know it's the hype is real when people are wanting Boston College game tickets.
Yes. Yes, when they're saying, I can't wait to get, man, was this a fake? People ask me, man, was that just a fluke? I say, you beat Michigan State, North Carolina, and Seton Hall. You know what I'm saying? There's no way that can be a fluke. Mm-hmm. You know, like the good teams, like think about this. Indiana is about to be the worst loss on your schedule in Indiana. Mm-hmm. Right? And that was before they got their shell cracked. And you know I always say that. So a lot of these teams, like Virginia Tech, I think you just need to get your shell cracked real good. Right? Like, oh, yeah. They'll fall. Well, some teams will fall right back on down to earth when they get busted up real good.
I think the part that was devastating about the Pittsburgh game is, you know, all the other losses that we had were respectable up to that point, and we could explain them. And they were teams that, you know, we're capable of beating us on any given night.
Right.
And so the Pittsburgh one was what people were kind of like, no, we got to beat this team. They haven't won an ACC game,
right,
you know, 23 tries, and it's just and it looked bad. And now that they're starting to come together, they're beating teams like Florida State. You're like, okay, this is a good team. This is a good loss too.
And here's what you notice. Here's what you'll notice. Just like I say, all it takes is to get your shell cracked before you start getting busted. The same thing works in reverse. Pittsburgh could end up really, really rolling now. Like I said, I text Drew Diener this morning, and I gave him the audio tip of the cap, right, by saying the morning after Pittsburgh, I did not think McGowan and Zach Johnson were really that good, right? But I will give the qualifier, I will give the qualifier that I just thought they benefited from a hot whistle. You know, like if you get some
home court advantage.
Yeah, if you get some touchy calls, you get some bad, you know, some officiating. Coach Mack explained it like this. Basically the sports gods smiled on them for playing harder than us. That was a nice way of saying, yeah, the referees got gave them all the calls because they were, you know. Because they were being aggressive, which is okay. That I'll take that way to explain it. Like, I can yell at my team because I can say, you weren't playing hard enough to get a fair whistle, right? You were just cruising, and you weren't getting the help. But just like Pittsburgh, you know, turned into a better – listen, they played North Carolina State right after that, you know, a lot better, ready to beat, you know, Florida State when they got back to Pittsburgh. Louisville took that loss, got their shell cracked, got their ACC shell cracked, and decided to go the 100% opposite way of what that was. But here's the thing. I think you might have got a Louisville team that learned the taste of work, right? Like you ever, like, everybody's hit a rhythm where you're looking forward to going to work or looking forward to doing a better job. Looking like you see some results, right? I don't know if the reason I say this is because you win a game and, you know, like human personality, people like to look like we balling after we won the game. Oh, look at us. Yeah, we doing our thing. I'm telling you, those guys did not carry the celebration very long. Yeah, I mean, because, you know, we get to see inside of each other's private lives almost with their, you know, with the social medias. It wasn't super, you know, oh, yeah. I mean, that night it was. Yeah, everybody felt good. And you got the next day off. But you jump back in with a taste to work, an affinity to let's see how hard we can work. You listen to Stephen Enoch. They're asking him about, you know, kind of like post-game comments. It was locally. I forget where I hear it. I hate when I do that. I feel like people think I'm purposely not giving them the credit. But Stephen Enoch talking post-game, saying, you know, when he's asked the question about, hey, you lost your starting spot, how do you feel about, you know what I'm saying? And for him to handle a question like, okay, well, I'm going to do what he did to beat me out of my spot. Like, Malik Williams was working harder on defense, and I saw what he was doing, and I tried to do the same thing when I got in there. Yes, I want my spot back. He's balling. You know what I'm saying? Just a comfortable.
Do you remember the it was probably a week or two ago. You had this question where you said, Brian, VJ King or Stephen Enoch, which one do you take, like, you know, excelling and one sitting on the bench?
Right.
And we had that debate back and forth. Well, it looks like Stephen Enoch was the clear-cut answer because he has picked up his play these past two games. He's played really well, and it's resulted in a big win for us in one of them.
Do you think it's because he's coming off the bench?
I mean, you can use it as motivation. I don't think it would change now if you put him in the starting lineup. I think he would still play at the same level he's playing now, but he might have needed to go to the bench originally to get his mind right and then, you know, work his way back into the starting lineup. But I think he'd be fine if you throw him in the lineup now.
This is what I was thinking yesterday because I wrote that question down. I was thinking about that question. Does Stephen Enoch, is it because he's been to the bench? Is it a motivation thing? And then, you know what I realized? It's not a motivation thing. It comes down to simple human psychology. Malik Williams comes out, and he's in that game for 5 minutes, and he's moving different, and he's doing all this right. By the time Stephen Enoch comes in, looking the way he looks, the referees know that he's a bench guy, right? And they almost treat him like the hardworking guy. You know, every time you get that guy that comes off the bench.
So he's not getting the pushing fouls that he was getting when he was the starter?
Yeah, because
the one where he was bullying?
Yeah, every team always has some guy that comes off the bench and they get away with murder. Because, you know, I mean.
So you think it's a mentality of the refs?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, think about it. Steve Enoch, the first thing he says he notices, he's not picking up the foul when he, you know, when his arm's in the air and stuff like that.
So you think if we threw Enoch in the starting lineup that it would be different?
Absolutely.
That he would get different calls.
Absolutely. From the refs. Yeah, because, like, you're the starter. You're supposed to move. Like, regardless of people want to admit it or not, especially ACC basketball, it's very pleasing. It's ACC basketball is pleasing to the eye. Because we can see a zone and we can see the way a team attacks a zone really clear. You know, sometimes you watch West Virginia and you see them all just fighting for the rebound and just running up and bullying their way to the basket and then bullying on defense. And you're like, one ref can call this game and eventually just like, dude, I don't know what to call. This is animal ball.
Here's the thing. Like, I'm on the other end where I think you could enter Enoch into the lineup if you need to, and it would be fine. But I'm saying, you know, don't fix what's not broken, you know?
You're right.
It's working right now.
And I'm not sure of the Enoch versus Williams thing, but I kind of think, like I said, a guy coming off the bench, he kind of gets a little bit of an energy guy pass.
Yeah.
Like, if he comes out, like, when do you rarely see a guy just come off the bench and the referee's just boop, boop, and he's back on the bench. Like, that doesn't really.
Get back over there.
Right. Right. It's kind of like, you know, you're coming off the bench for a reason. If you look like an energy guy, then you realize this dude's not really an energy guy.
Do you think we're going to kind of, because this is kind of what I think. I think we're going to have back and forth games, you know, where we're going to have a game where the hot hand's just going to be playing because Malik's going to be hot one game and Enoch's not going to be hitting. And the next game, Enoch's going to be hitting and Malik's not. And you know, I know it's cliche, but it really matters who's playing at the end of the game and who's, you know, getting the most minutes. I mean, just because you're a starter doesn't mean you're going to be one of the top 5 minute people on the team.
See, and here's the thing. I mean, I don't know how we, like, we're comparing the future of Louisville basketball as the starting lineup with Malik and Enoch.
They're both playing good enough to start.
But here's what I will say. Here's where I like it. Enoch gets the ball against Carolina. The stretch, he stretches the floor. So their big man is out on a three-point line. Coach Mack says it the other day, like kind of pregame North Carolina. Steve Enoch has a good rip-through move. So Steve Enoch can get the ball two dribbles and make a pass. Like, he turned it over when Luke May made that steal at the beginning of the game. Yeah. But the fact that you can spread the floor with your center and your center can put it on the floor a little bit, I mean, and play active defense just to start the game, I just think our hot starts, you know, our hot starts and our matchups just start off really off balance.
Well, let me throw a scenario at you. What do you think, and I think you'll probably know where I'm going with this, but what do you think about Wara possibly playing the two? Because you could have a lineup, and where I'm going with that is Kristen Cunningham, Jordan Wara, you could play Dwayne Sutton at the three, and you could still play Malik and Enoch. But you can't afford the foul trouble with the two bigs
that's the same thing. Right now.
But those are the five players that are playing the best basketball right now.
I couldn't start them together. But here's what I'll say. I kind of said it yesterday. I went and watched it again last night. I probably watched the first 12 to 15 minutes again. You have to think, the very first possession of the game, the ball went into Luke May. He shot a turnaround, like a 15-foot turnaround, over Jordan Wara. It was contested, right? Mm-hmm. Jordan Wara gets his hands up, good contest. And then he shoots over there and gets the rebound himself, right?
Yeah.
And then he starts dribbling up the court. He's already your shooter. Mm-hmm. Jordan is not your designated shooter guy.
I think he can play the two. That's where our weakness is right now. I mean, VJ and him and four.
I don't say weakness because four.
Comparatively.
Yeah, it's not – normally that's your scoring spot.
I mean, technically, McMahon, I think, is more of a – almost more of a two than a one.
Yeah, but I like the defensive lineup early.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, while you get a chance to establish toughness. But I know what you're saying. I just liked that Jordan could guard another team's big man at his size and skill set and then turn around and turn into a 2/3 on the offensive.
Yeah, he could play anywhere from the two to the four. Right now.
Right?
I think so.
So I saw that as a good start. It was awesome. So but anyway, to finish the point with the Enoch Williams thing, I do like it. You know, I like if you told me I'm gonna start Malik, but I'm gonna play Enoch more, you know, I would have no problem with
that. I'd be cool with that.
Yeah, right. And I think
unless Malik's hitting that day and you're like, all right, give him some minutes. I mean, you know, it's all a feel game with Malik.
Yeah, but doesn't basketball just look different when you got a big man, though?
Oh, yeah.
It just looks.
Oh, yeah.
It looks a lot more dangerous. My goodness, that our fish conversation.
Sorry about
our
that.
Malik Enoch conversation. We're just getting rolling. Quick commercial break. Midday with Marcus Maven. We'll be back in a second. 8150, 939 is the number on 939 DeVille.
Come out to Bluegrass Karting and Events and check out their all-new axe throwing arenas. Make a night of it and also enjoy their new full bar and expanded menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events, the fastest go-karts in Kentucky, and now axe throwing arenas.
Listening to Middays with Marcus Maven, broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maven and Steve Rummage.
Tweet says Felton got called for fouls just walking to the scores table. Right? That was a good point. Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Midday with Marcus Maven, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 939 is the station. 3831, 939 is the text line. So I read the text line. They want to talk football recruiting. Brian?
I'm down.
I can't do it. I cannot do it today. Here's the thing. This is me personally. Like I'm going to make this confession to Texter. I have attachment anxieties to this day. Okay. Last week I explained the military background. You know, so many times you have to pick up, you have to terminate relationships way too often for my liking, right? That's why I don't do recruiting. Well, like I get excited about recruits.
It's not really a commitment there.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah. Like here's the thing. I can't afford to give myself.
Till the sign on the dotted line.
I can't commit to you until I see you. And even in today's new age where these young punks get to come on campus and take pictures in the uniforms. And here's what's worse. Like when I did it, like I'm sure there's pictures floating around of me in Tennessee uniforms and you know what I'm saying? North Carolina State uniforms and, you know, official visit, you know. But, you know, I'd
love to see this.
I know, right? Listen, there's me and the Travis Ford. That one's going to pop up soon. I know that one's going to pop up. Just
I'll keep an eye out for it. I'll check
number five, blue jersey, Kentucky jersey. I'm about 14, 15. That one, listen, that's one of those I can't be the president because – I feel like that picture is going to come out the closet one day. But here's the thing. I can't commit to the recruiting process when you get to come here and you get to put on a uniform. And then you know what they can do? They can Photoshop you into a game. And they have guys screaming and busting through, you know, cartoon characters. And then I read the bottom caption and it says, thankful for the offer. From University of Louisville. I'm like, Jesus, this thing, you're already a superhero busting through Louisville, you know, stadium. You're busting through Cardinal Stadium and running touchdowns. And I'm just like, thanks for the, you know, I appreciate the offer.
You're right. They do take pictures at every school they go to.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you know, 1 week ago they were in a Louisville uniform and then they're signing with Clemson next
year. Yeah, and they do way too much with it. Like I said, if it was just the uniform, it's like, okay, you're on campus. That's cute. Right.
Do they have a specific question or are they just recruiting?
No, just talk. They want to talk.
They want to talk recruiting.
Yeah, because, I mean.
Probably want to talk mainly about Tate Martell. But, I mean, yesterday, just quick rundown. I mean, they got Renato Brown yesterday. He was a 3-star offensive lineman. He chose Louisville over offers from, you know, Alabama. He was originally committed to Miami. He's 6'4", 280. Looks to be kind of in the same mold and build as like a John Miller when he was here. He went on to have a great NFL career. Could be a big-time commitment for us. And then the Tate Martell kid is coming in. Ben Hicks came in last weekend, which is the SMU all-time leading passer.
Right.
He would be a grad transfer for 1 year. But I think they probably want to talk about Tate Martell, which was the backup quarterback for Ohio State last year. He was a four-star recruit coming out of high school. He was the number two overall dual threat quarterback of the 2017 class. He redshirted 1 year at Ohio State, was their backup last year. He went, and I'm doing, I got all this. He was 23 of 28 for 269 passing yards, one touchdown, and he had 22 carries for 128 yards and a touchdown, or two touchdowns rushing.
Right?
He's more of a scrambling quarterback. He's a smaller guy. He's like 5'11", 5'10".
Right.
He reminds you a lot of like a Baker Mayfield or a Johnny Manziel as far as like build and kind of style of play. Is a little bit wordy, apparently.
Right.
But he was on you know, QB1, which you can check, but he actually he was at Bishop Gorman, which was one of the top high schools in the country.
123-0.
Yeah, and he won, you know, how many ever state championships there? I don't know if he lost a game, and he was actually rated as, or he won the high school player of the year.
Right.
In 2017.
No, listen, you can have all of that, right? But my problem is I'm not a serial dater. No. Let me rephrase that. I am not a strikeout 50 times, land one dater, right?
Right.
I am not guy, like my buddy.
You don't want to be the backup plan?
No, here's the thing. My buddy always, he's been saying this to me since I was a young pup. He is one of the guys, I don't even want to say his name because his wife will hold this against him in a court of law if I dare say it, right?
Uh-huh.
But my buddy he could literally go to a club and he could be that guy. Hey, how you doing? Can I buy you a drink? Can I get your number? Blah, blah, blah. No, thank you. Okay. Hey, how you doing?
Go right over the next girl.
Oh, all night long, right? And listen, he ends up doing better than everybody else, right?
Yeah, he's got confidence.
Yeah, but you just, I don't even know if it's confidence or he never cared.
Care.
Yeah, he just never cared, right? But, I mean, and I would probably tell people, be more like him, you know what I'm saying? But, I know, right? But it's like that with the recruiting. Like, I can't take all these stabs and have these quarterbacks just telling me no, and just my confidence is taking no in the recruit. Like, listen, when you commit here, I can size you up.
So you can dig that.
Yeah. But anything like we're looking at, they're recruiting, they're visiting, you know, unless I know I'm the inside man on it, I don't do healthy with that. Norville McKenzie. Looking like Louisville's
running backs coach.
Yeah, looks like Louisville's going to bring in a running backs coach. I can't say. Like, I mean, he doesn't have much of a super resume, but I will say he's the personality and the mold and the way they're going to sell him to you because he doesn't have a full a big-time resume is that he's going to be one of those Sean McVays of college.
Ooh.
You know, like the young and up-and-comer, three-degree brainiac, you know what I'm saying, who went to school in Georgia. What else do you need?
Right.
You know, three-degree guy in the heart of Georgia on your staff. Listen, when you're like that, you bring in guys that know how to play running back.
Oh, yeah, and Arkansas State has had some good running backs down there before. You know, me being a Sun Belt and Conference USA guy through Western Kentucky.
Good point.
I've actually watched a lot of Arkansas State, and it's actually where I believe Gus Malzahn came from.
I'm glad I didn't make the joke. Who knows anything about
but
Arkansas State and Sun Belt?
They have a history of really good running backs. He's been there the past 3 years. But like you said, I like the young guys. I like the fact that we're putting together a younger staff. And I think that you know, the important hires are done right now. The majority of the staff is put together, and now we have just one spot left, which is the wide receivers coach. And I think we're holding out for a big name or two, waiting on their decision, and we have the ability to wait now because we can see if he's not going to play out. It's not a desperation situation because we have a lot of the major coaching staff put together.
Right. Like I don't want to draw myself back because here's the thing. Sometimes you get momentum rolling so good that when you lose a Chad Scott or when you lose
It's just part of the business.
Yeah, right, right.
You got to understand.
But I don't like it. You know, yeah. I personally don't like it because I'm invested emotionally. Like your T. Martin. Like T. Martin's officially off the market. T. Martin's headed back to Rocky Top, which, you know, I gotta admit, like, outside of Louisville.
What's he going to coach there?
What's that?
What's he going to coach there? Did it say? I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, but here's the thing. I know. And I can't separate myself. I can't say I'm not happy for Tennessee.
Like, as much as I wanted T. Martin here, it's good to go back to your alma mater. Right. Man. I get it.
What kind of person would I be if I besmirched a guy for going up, for going home to his team?
And we constantly be worried that Tennessee was going to come take him at some point, you know, for a higher position. Oh, he's our wide receivers coach. We want him as offensive coordinator.
Right. So I had no problem learning about T. Martin going back to Tennessee. Like I said, McKenzie, he's going to be one of those we'll see chances. So I wouldn't call that
nice, though.
Right, right. I'm not going to call that an exciting thing. Like I said, his Georgia connection, I'm going to have an eyebrow raised, but he's definitely a wait.
I'm going to take a shot on a limb here real quick.
Go ahead.
With T. Martin off the list, I wouldn't be surprised if we have the full staff filled by the end of the week, and that the backup plan at wide receiver, not to say it was the backup plan, but they probably will finalize that in the next 2 to 3 days, I would think.
Right, they were probably sitting on a guy, you know. And I will say this one more thing before I move back to the basketball conversation. And Steve. He baited me into this one. He sent me a highlight film of Hassan Hall.
Oh, yeah. Was it the one that he posted on? Yes.
He Very sent nice. That to me. And then you're like, dude, I don't care who the running back's coach is when I got these guys sitting on my bench. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I have a staple of guys ready to be unleashed.
You know what's so funny? And don't get me wrong. I know all highlight videos do this. But, like, I knew Hassan Hall was having a better year for us. But because of how bad we were, it was hard to find any real bright spots. I knew that he had potential and he had made a couple big plays. And I knew he was our future, possibly, at the running back. But watching the highlights, I'm like, man, that happened last year? That must have been, like, after I left or something. because they
say that
like,
again. Say that again for because people who haven't watched the highlights.
Yeah,
that highlight made you think what?
It made me be like, did I see that? Did that happen last year? Like I must have missed that. It must have been when a game was a blowout and I had stopped paying attention.
Texter says Pops Fitzpatrick for wide receiver coach. Absolutely, sign me up right now.
Oh, I'm down.
Right, boy. He has some grown man hands, boy. He still looks like a full football player, grown man. But here's what I'll say.
Well, I mean, I'm on board with Deion Branch or Stephon LaForce.
I know. It's not like there's no options. But like I said, the Hassan Hall thing kind of made me back out a little bit. And because of what you said about watching those highlights and watching those plays, when you watch Hassan Hall, you think – What was the big joke about how many points Alabama scored on Clemson? The joke was about Louisville. Like, we put up the same number of points you did. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know who? Yeah, no, I agree.
And you know who was doing that?
Yeah.
Hassan Hall.
He was.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Hassan Hall.
You know who we didn't see last year who could be really good? Colin Wilson. You put those two, you got the – thunder and lightning going.
I mean, Colin Wilson was doghouse. Hassan Hall, I mean.
I think you got a 1-2 punch right there. You got your thunder and lightning ready to go.
Hassan Hall was the only reason from the beginning that I even listened to the Fire Bobby Petrino talk.
Yeah.
Like, listen.
Now
the Hassan,
Tate Martell in here.
Right. The Hassan Hall conversation was the one that made me start listening to Fire Bobby.
Yeah,
I'll admit it. I'll accept it. You can. I told you a long time ago. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. The Hassan Hall got me listening. Yeah. But here's the thing, he was doing that against Clemson. Mm-hmm. He was running away from guys like serious players. So anyway, Hassan Hall made me realize I'm not panicked about my running backs coach. You know, like I said, if that's a recruiter more than a developer, I'm sure you have your share of development.
I feel like
on.
Those two have set our backfield up for a while. Like once we get the offensive line settled, those two guys are going to be great. You still got Dez Fitzpatrick and I believe Seth Dawkins, is he back? And
yes.
Tutu Atwell, of course.
Yes.
Tutu Atwell is going to be awesome. And then the quarterback spot's the one. And, you know, and I don't keep meaning to go back to him, but there was actually brought up on the drive yesterday, Dave Lackford text in from Rivals, and he was saying, you know, not saying that it was
Doesn't he have a bat line or something, Lackford? Like, does he have to, like, just call
He calls in.
Was he a guest call in? Or,
No, he just text. He just text. And he was basically not saying that it would happen, but he was saying, you know, that we were having the argument about how waivers are a little bit easier to come by these days, about how, you know, you see players transferring a lot for whatever reason and being clear to play the next season, and it's happening a lot more than not now. And the fact that Urban Meyer stepped down could be a thing that helps out that cause.
You want him?
Tate?
Yeah.
I just want a good quarterback. It doesn't have to be him, but, I mean, we're not going to be good until we get a good quarterback. And so
he scares me.
I know what you're saying.
Like I understand what people say when you're 2-10, but here's the thing. You telling me any joke you make to me about you can just take anybody because you're 2-10, I respond with, yeah, and last year's basketball team didn't make the tournament, didn't beat one team in the top 40, right?
Yeah.
But here you are, you busting Michigan State's and Carolina's and Seton Hall's okay.
Here's the way that I see
maybe
it.
Maybe somebody says less talent than last year. You know what I'm saying? We're going to talk about that, but you still get the point.
I agree with you.
I think the talent's there.
I think you're going to be much improved regardless, just by the coaching change, you know, people switching some positions.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but I really honestly – let me do the Tate thing first, and then I'll get to my point. With Tate, I think the real reality is he probably doesn't get a waiver and he has to sit out next season. And so what you do is you bring in one of these grad transfer quarterbacks like Ben Hicks, the SMU guy. You let him start for a year. You let Tate see if his attitude is going to be good, work out or not next season, and you make a decision, you know, next season if this is our guy going forward or it's not going to work out. But what I was going to say about the part you're talking about with the team improving is, I hate to say it, but I think the coaching staff last year really only had like two guys that were on the staff that were really
coach
D1 level coaches.
Yep.
And I think that we were bringing in good recruits or, you know, some of the best recruiting classes that we've had at Louisville, but we weren't able to develop the talent once it got here because we didn't have the coaches to coach them up to get to that potential. Now that we're seeing a really good Satterfield staff be put together, we're going to see these guys actually get more of the coaching that they need at this level and is going to be able to pinpoint, hey, this is where you're messing up, this is what you need to do to improve it, and kind of see individual jumps, meaning like we're going to see individual players get a lot better. As a team,
right,
we might get, you know, we might have a certain ceiling at some point, but individuals we might see make a big jump.
I'm not scared to compare the football team talent and the basketball team talent, and I'll give you one more example of why the Tate situation scares me. And here's the thing. First and foremost, congratulations, Dang Adele. Two-way contract, NBA G League. Congratulations, 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 my dude, right?
I like the fit.
I love the fit. And I'll say this. It said Hicks, Texas says Hicks committed to Arkansas.
Okay. But we also are after the Ball State guy, and then we're also after we had a couple grad transfers that we're looking at.
Let me tie this all together. The Tate conversation, to me, is the reason I was happy that Dang Adele chased his dreams, right? I personally did not like the Dang Adele posture, the Dang Adele demeanor, the Dang Adele focus was Dang Adele. I worry that Dang Adele in this locker room is not chip on his shoulder Dang Adele. Dwayne Sutton, chip on the shoulder. Jordan Ward, chip on the shoulder. Darius Perry, chip. Christian Cunningham, chip. Daquan Ford, chip on his shoulder. Malik Williams, chip on shoulder. All these guys have a chip on their shoulder. I think if Dang Adele comes back, he's not chip on the shoulder guy. I don't need that guy in my locker room, although I am definitely rooting for him. I am worried Tate is not chip on his shoulder guy. This team right now, football or basketball, filled with coaches dying to prove something, filled with chips on their shoulder. University. This university is built on chip on their shoulder, underdog-y kind of high potential, high ceiling, not respected people. That's what the program I love to root for. Quick commercial break. Top of the hour, Middays with Marcus Maben, 81.50. 93.9 is the number on 93.9 The Field.